First Samuel, please, chapter 15. First Samuel, chapter 15, we'll read at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Now over a little farther, down to verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now the little book of Jonah. The little book of Jonah. Chapter 1. And verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil? And they said, Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And then finally in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in verse 20, Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The Lord will bless, I'm sure, what we've heard today already. And these three portions that we've read together, there's just three very simple words that I'm thinking about today that I enjoyed, at least in my own soul. I might say that we certainly appreciate the kindness of the Lord's people in coming here this afternoon. When I think of the trips that are made into this building through the week, and then on the weekend this morning, and it's maybe not a great distance if we think of distance, and yet I think of time-wise and the traveling, And so I would say that we're very appreciative of the Lord's people that would put the effort and take the time of traveling like this on a Lord's Day afternoon for to listen to the ministry of the Word. So we trust the Lord will bless you for your coming and us as well. I want to think of three words. One is obedience that is brought before us in 1 Samuel chapter 15. To obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. So I just want to think of obedience. And I want to think of an occupation because the question was asked that day to Jonah, what is thine occupation? They never guessed. They didn't know what his occupation was. And so they said, what is thine occupation? So I want to think of occupation. And then in Romans chapter 12, that little word overcoming. The last verse that we read, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now these three thoughts, I was enjoying just very simply because of one statement that I was thinking about. That God has saved us for a purpose. Now I suppose you've heard that over and over again in your life, but that's just a little expression that I was enjoying. God saved us for a purpose. Every person, whether we're younger, when we get saved, or whether older, when we get saved, there's a purpose why God has saved us. He didn't save us just to take us to heaven. He's going to do that, and we're going to heaven, but it is not just a purpose to take us to heaven. If that was the case, of course, he would take us to heaven, or he could take us to heaven immediately after he saved us. There would be no benefit, really, of leaving us here to stumble and stray along and all that goes with the things of this life and the defilement and everything. So it's not only that he saved us just to take us to heaven, and it's not only that he just saved us just to keep us from going to hell. And that's true. He saved us to take us to heaven, and he has saved us to keep us from going to hell. And if there's any here today, and perchance you're not saved here this afternoon in this meeting, we would like to say that God has sent the Lord Jesus. And the purpose why Christ came into the world, Christ Jesus came into the world, is that he might save sinners. Not only to save them from their sin, and not only to take a person to heaven, and not only to keep a person from going to hell, and that's true. But you know, there's another reason, there's a purpose why God comes into the life of an individual, and there's a purpose why God saves us. Ever ask yourself the purpose, why has God saved me? And I suppose we would speak to maybe some of the younger ones here today, but ever ask yourself the question, why has God saved me? For what purpose has God come into my life? What purpose would God have for me in my life as far as this life is concerned? Well, one thing very simply is obedience. Do you know that God is looking for obedience in the life of us, his people? And this man Saul brings before us, God told him exactly what he wanted him to do. There was no reason of misunderstanding. There was no reason why he didn't know exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He knew. He was told. But in his life, he failed to completely do what the Lord has asked him, or what the Lord wanted him to do. So I think in our life of obedience, when God saves us, first of all, of course, is baptism. And that would be the first step of obedience. I would take it basically that God requires for an individual. I was thinking about that because you know sometimes we think it maybe takes a lot of intelligence, and I suppose it does, spiritual intelligence at least. But I was thinking of a man, and I think of this fellow quite a bit. He's gone now. I had the privilege of having this man's funeral, but a number of years ago, over on the Labrador coast, north in a little village called Charlottetown. And we lived there for 4 years. And during those years, it was earlier on when we were there, I guess it was, that there was a man that got saved. He was a man that was brought up. He was an older man. He was probably in his 60s when he got saved. And he was a man who was brought up with no education. Back in those earlier days, it was just a struggle to keep a large family that he had together and to make ends meet. But this man, this older gentleman in his 60s, he got saved in gospel meetings. So you don't have to have an education for God's salvation, because it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings a person into the good of sins forgiven. It's being obedient to his word and trusting Christ. Well, this man got saved. And, of course, over a few years, there used to be baptism preached, but there's going to be a baptism here next Lord's Day evening. We were reminded this morning, but you know, in the hall there was no tank. So you preach baptism, but then there was no tank in the hall. It was a little hall about as long as this building is wide, and it would be about 20 feet deep, I suppose. And of course, in the summer, over there, they used to leave in the month of May, late May, early June, and they'd all move way down the coast to different little islands where they would fish all summer. So they're all gone out to the fishing, and there's nobody in there for the baptism. And then they come back in the fall, and it's too late in the fall. It's too cold with the water and the ice and so on. So you can't, you couldn't baptize them then. And then through the winter, of course, there's no tank in the hall. And so what? You preach baptism. So the late Mr. Floyd Stewart was there one time we was having meetings. And so we were talking about it one day. Well, he said to us, what about putting a tank in the hall then? Why couldn't we make a tank? So I spoke to the brother and I said, how about if we make a tank? Of course, there's no basement there. It's just up on posts on the bedrock. So at the front of the hall, we cut a hole out of the floor and we put two sheets of plywood together and put the ends in them and the base on it and put it down and insulated it. And in March, we planned to have a baptism just before the conference. So we talked it over with the brethren, and there was one man there that came to us and said he'd like to be baptized. And so, of course, Uncle George, that was the man's name, we called him Uncle George. So we said, well, Uncle George hasn't said anything about getting baptized, and what do you think? We were into the heart of the winter, and 20 and 30 and more below by times. So the brethren said, probably wouldn't do this all the time, but the brethren said, well, why don't you go over to Uncle George and tell Uncle George that there's going to be a baptism, and that we would be happy to baptize him if he would like to be baptized. Well, perhaps you don't go to people like that, but in Uncle George's case, so I went over. Went over in the evening, sat down, talked for a little bit, and I said, Uncle George, we're got the tank ready, almost ready anyway, in the hall, and we're going to have a baptism on the Sunday night of the conference. And the brethren wanted me to just to mention to you that if you would like to be baptized, that they'd be happy to baptize you. Well, he said, you know, he said, when I heard that you were putting that tank in the building, he said, I packed my suitcase with the clothes that I need to get baptized in. He says, in under the bed, and it's all ready to go. He said, well, you know what he said? No education, couldn't read the Bible, but he listened to the gospel. He said, whatever it says in that book, that's what I want to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Don't need, you know, that's not a big education for that, or you'd have to learn or go to college or university. Uncle George would have missed that. But, you know, Uncle George said, whatever it says in that book, that's what I want to do. And I thought, you know, that's in most of our lives. We complicate a lot of things, but when it comes right down to where the tire hits the road, as they say, that's one thing that God is looking for in our lives. No matter what part of the world we come from, no matter what part of the world we live in, one thing that is very simple and straightforward, the Lord is looking for obedience in our lives. Obedience, just as a parent looks for obedience in the life of the child, God is looking for obedience in the life of His children, of His people. I wonder how we're doing today with obedience to God's Word. I wonder how we're doing with obedience to what the Lord wants me to do. Am I baptized today? If I'm not, if I'm really saved, and without any doubt about it whatsoever, settled the matter of being saved, well, what about obedience to the Lord and baptism? Well, what about the assembly? Gathered to the Lord's name. Gathering with the people of God. Salvation puts me in Christ. Baptism, that's my stand for Christ. And in the assembly, place with Christ, gathered with the Lord's people, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's steps of obedience. You know, when I got baptized, if you was to ask me what baptism was all about, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. Baptism, you know, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's dying to the world, and it's alive to Christ, and all of the, you know, some of these intricate things that some of us try to learn a little bit of later,
But I never even thought about that. Do you know what I thought about? This is something that the Lord wants me to do. Very simply, this is something that God has asked me to do, is that I might be baptized. The assembly? Well, I didn't know all about the assembly. I know very little about the assembly today. Do you know all about the assembly today? Do you understand all the intricate workings? Sometimes get so know so much it almost gets difficult, because we think we know so much then and almost bring a little difficulty into that. But you know, it's a place where the Lord has placed His name, a place where He wants me to be with His people, working together for the benefit of the assembly, for the building up of God's people, for the furtherance of the gospel. I was wondering a little while ago, you know, we were building in a house, and all the time through that house we used to talk. Mr. Hugh Kelly was there helping me some on the framing part of it. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the assembly and the Lord's work. And, you know, I wonder sometimes in the assembly whether we're building or not building. When some of the ones come to help at the house, we were building. And there was those that came. One day we had, I'd say, about five or six kids. Well, I'd call them children. But, you know, they all had a hammer and they all had got some nails. And they just loved to drive the nail. One thing they wanted to do was drive the nails. They didn't want to lug the lumber. And they didn't want to do a lot of things, but they wanted to drive the nails. Well, do you know something? They put boards on the wall of the house, on the side walls. Mr. Kelly put them there in place, and they nailed away at the nails. And I thought afterwards, isn't that just a picture of our Christian life? Why, there's just those that are younger, I almost think they'd be in the way, maybe. And yet they weren't in the way at all. Some of them carried the boards. And they were down, Mr. Kelly, he used to laugh, because he would speak about getting some boards, and of course he'd go over and then he'd go down the ladder, down to the ground, and then he'd walk around, and so he'd say something to the younger ones to get something, and they over the floor and leap off the side of the building and back up over the same way again. They could do what he couldn't do, and some of us couldn't do. We'd just do a little different, took a little longer. But I thought there's a place for every person to fit. Well, how are we fitting in the assembly today? Are we helping the assembly to which we belong? Are we trying to drive at least a nail or two along the way just to be a help? Or are we maybe trying to do something different? One man said there's builders and then there's ones that don't build. There's pillars and there's caterpillars. You know, there's different things that they say. But in the assembly, there's a work that God has for us. Obedience to His Word. Fitting in. Being obedient to the Word of God. Then I thought of occupation. What is thine occupation? Saul failed in his inobedience and why he lost his place. But when I come to Jonah, I was thinking of occupation. They never guessed. You know, if you ask these men, what is the occupation of this man that you've taken on board on this vessel, they wouldn't have guessed. They wouldn't have known. I wonder, would they guess in the world today what's our occupation? And I mean our real occupation. You know, our labors, our job, that's just to make ends meet. But when God has saved us, He has saved us for a purpose. He has a work for us to do. Something for us to do. And it's an occupation. I was just reminded, just came to my mind sitting here last night, a man was telling us he was got in the elevator. And when he got in this elevator, there was a young woman in the elevator with him. And I think I'll get the story right, mostly anyway. And he said her face was there as long and as dark looking as could be. And of course, and you know him, and that's not the way it is that I've seen anyway since I've come here. And you know what she said to him? She said, I hate you. Well, that would take you back pretty fast, wouldn't it? She said, I hate you. Well, he said, well, my dear, he said, what did I do to you? You know, if I did something, tell me not, and I'll say I'm sorry. She said, I hate you because you just look so happy all the time. That's pretty good, wasn't it? So I hate you because you look so happy all the time. Well, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good occupation to be in. Never preached to that girl by lip, but he was preaching by life. And sometimes people would hardly guess. You know, that should characterize us as God's people. What are you occupied with, Jonah? Here they are, they're in desperate situation now. keep running away from God. And oftentimes that's what we do in our lives. We run away from God, trying to get away from what God wants us to do, trying to get away from the work that God would have for us. And so he takes this ship and he's going in the wrong direction. God sends a storm into his life. Well, sometimes God sends a storm into our lives to change our direction, going in the wrong direction. Ever felt that? Ever run into a storm in your life? As soon as that storm came, it didn't have to tell Jonah, really, it didn't have to tell Jonah that that storm was just he didn't understand what it was. And you know as well as I know that into our lives there's things that come sometimes, and when it comes, we just automatically know this is because of, and I've been there. I would acknowledge that today, I've been there. Soon as something comes into the life, immediately, I know why this has come. It doesn't always, you know, it's not always as a, that's the reason. Mr. L. Driver has said, you know, things come into our lives sometimes without a reason, but not without a purpose. And how true that is. But in Jonah's case, it was a reason. He was running, hiding from God. Ever try to hide from God? Well, they cast lots, of course. They try everything they can. They can't get the, they're going to go down. They're going to go under. And so they come to this man, Jonah, and wake him up sound asleep. A work that God had called him to do, something that God wanted him to do, and he's sound asleep going in the wrong direction. Well, he needed to be woken up. It's too bad they'd take the storm, isn't it? But anyway, they said, what is thine occupation? As a result of what was in Jonah's life, those other men almost lost their lives. As a result of the course that Jonah was taking, those other men almost perished. Isn't that something? To have that on his conscience, that I'm running away from God, I'm taking my own way, and I'm not going to turn around, and these men have lost their lives and their souls as a result of the way that I'm taking, well, pretty solemn. And it's occupation. What are we occupied with today? Am I occupied with my life for God? Would the world recognize by my life or by my lip that I belong to the Lord Jesus? Would the world about us, would my workmates at the job, would they understand that, well, this fellow's different? This woman, she's a different woman. Even though they may not say that they would admire you or appreciate you, and yet deep down they would have to admire. They would have to acknowledge. A man that worked on the CN boats across from Nova Scotia to Newfoundland, he used to hear the gospel a little bit in the open air in North Sydney when he was in port there. He's from Newfoundland, formerly, lives in Cape Breton now. And he said, you know, there was one thing, I admired those people. He never went to them and told them that he admired them. But he said after, of course, after he got saved, an ungodly man, and for a number of years of his life, no thought of God or anything else. They said, I admired those people, even in the rain. He said, I can remember even when it was raining at night on a Sunday night that they had a short open-air meeting. He said, I admired them. One night, he was going across the Gulf. He picked up a tract, as we've been hearing about, that was lying on a seat or somewhere that somebody had left. And he picked up this paper. Of course, he'd been hearing the gospel a little bit in the open air. And he picked up this paper, and he was down on his bunk, and it was a terrific storm at sea, and he was lying on the bunk reading this gospel paper, and he said, on one of those rolls of the ship, he said, I just rolled right on over the bunk, he said, and down on my knees beside that bunk, and I said, oh God, save me. Oh God, save Gordon. And he said, 5 miles out off a channel head, that's the way he puts it, so that's 5 miles out of Port of Bass, channel Port of Bass, so 5 miles of the channel head, he said, I trust that Christ is my Savior. He said, and one of the biggest storms that we crossed on that vessel. And he was the guy that takes the boat into the doctor, and he was, of course, coming on watch then because he was just 5 miles out. And so shortly he went up through the galley, he said, and a bunch of the men were around. And he said, I was saved. And you'd have to know Gordon, of course, to see him. And as they were going by, they said, Gordon, you're going to have a hard night tonight. No, he said, not a hard night tonight. He said, she'll go in like she never went in before.
Well, they thought he'd something happened to him. Well, it sure did, though, didn't it?
He said, I've got a master that's got it under control tonight.
Well, anyway, Buddy said that's just what happened to him. Went in there, said, dock that vessel. Said, if I have to say so myself. Said, dock that vessel like never docked it before on a stormy night.
Well, it's an occupation, and I'll tell you, the boys in that boat found out after. And he may not have said a whole lot, but they knew that something had happened in this man's life. His occupation occupied with Christ and with the work of God. Well, our occupation in the world. And then lastly, overcoming. And I'm not going to say much on that, but I just thought continually in our lives. I don't know about in your life, but you know, as I look into the mirror of the Word of God, and as I look into my heart, I'm made to understand that continually, and it's almost daily, that there needs to be an overcoming in my life. As I read down through Romans chapter 12, it begins with self. Romans 12 and verse 1, self. You know, there needs to be the overcoming of self continually, I find anyway. Just when you think that everything's starting to go good, then up comes self. You know, myself, observing what I want. So then there has to be that overcoming. And that's perhaps the start of the whole thing, overcoming self. And then read down through the list, and I jot down a few things, but I'm not going to go over them this afternoon. Only the last verse that says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcomers in our lives. Overcomers in your life. Overcomers in my life. Overcoming that which we deal with day by day. Sometimes it's a word somebody says to us, and you know, we just take that the wrong way. And then, of course, that hard feeling comes up. Or maybe it could be envy sometimes. I see somebody else and they're getting ahead. I know of a case that when one man got ahead, when everything was kind of on a level plane, things went pretty smooth. But when one man started to get ahead a little in a practical way, you could see that the other person, it was something that he battled with inside. Ever been there? I suppose most of us have, maybe one time or another. And what do we have to do? Well, we got to overcome that. If not, it'll eat us away. If not, it'll just drag us down. If not, we'll miss in our Christian life. Because those things will begin to get bigger and bigger. I often thought of Goliath and that army. You know, Goliath came down there, and every day, for 40 days, he came down and defied the armies of Israel. Why didn't Saul go out in the first day? But he never. And you know, I thought about that. And 40 days, by the end of 40 days, when Goliath come out there, I would say he looked more like the mountain to those Israelites than he did the giant. Because no doubt Goliath would get bigger and bigger, and they would get smaller and smaller. Why, they were defeated on 40 days. But a young man comes along, David, and when he looks down, sees the giant all right, but he sees a man that God can deal with and handle the situation, and he went down into that valley, and he overcame the giant. And he did it with a stone. Didn't take Saul's armor. But he did it with a stone because God gave him the strength. Well, God has the strength for you and I that we can overcome whatever difficulty, friend, whatever's eating maybe in your life, taking away your joy. Are you happy? Are you as happy today as you were when you got saved? Are you enjoying your salvation today as much as you have enjoyed it in the past? Well, there's times that come and it just feels like you wonder, right? Well, maybe even shed tears. Why? Where did I lose it? Why is it different? Well, maybe there's things in our lives we need to overcome. And we can overcome evil with good. Well, God is able to give that needed help, and we trust today that these thoughts that we've heard from our brother, and the thought of obedience to His Word, occupied with Him and His work, overcoming in our lives personally, us that the Lord will bless. I will pray. Father, we bow at the close of our meeting today. We thank thee for the truth of the Word of God and the privilege, our Father, of being part of that great work that thou art doing. We're reminded that thou didst save us for a purpose, and whether we're from the east or from the west, from the north or from the south, our Father, we remind our hearts that there's a little part in the vineyard that thou dost have for us. There's a work that thou dost have for us to do. Help us that we might be faithful to our God and faithful to thy word, and that we might be occupied in thy service. We pray that thou dost bless us here at this time. We think of the gospel tonight and throughout the coming week here and other places as well. We pray that souls might be gathered in for whom the Savior died. Bless thy word and bless thy people. We thank thee for them. We ask to encourage their hearts and refresh them. We ask as we look to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hymn number 440, in closing. 440, put thou thy trust in God. In duty's path go on, walk in his strength, with faith and hope, so shall thy work be done, and so on. I remember the meetings as I continue the week, and perhaps see so many faces that are so all new. And I don't know if you've been to the meetings or not, any, but if there's for some reason you can't make it or you're too far away that you can't get here, if you would remember us in prayer, we'd certainly appreciate it. Whenever we come to mind, and the meetings would come to mind, that you just mention these meetings before the Lord, that it might please the Lord even this week to visit us here, and that souls might be saved. A good number has come in this past week. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, been really encouraged with the effort of the Lord's people here and the exercise, and the Lord has blessed and given some encouragement. So as we come to mind this week, the meetings, we would ask that you just remember us in prayer that the Lord will bless. And if you're not saved today, the greatest blessing that could come into your life would be the blessing of God's great and wondrous salvation. Don't put it off. Hymn number 440.